Now, speaking of the beach, we're talking about one of my all-time faves that I didn't know was an all-time fave until I figured out what this movie was. We'll get into it on the episode. This is Nightmare Beach. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to our fine little podcast here, our homegrown podcast, as it were.
Yeah.
This week,
it's a mom and pop operation.
It is indeed a mom and pop operation.
Yeah, we got mom and pop's stock in the back room right now. All those VHS tapes.
Oh, I don't know, Mother. I think these are going out of style.
All right, well, we're done podcasting. Lock them in the closet.
Are you two boys doing pornography this week? Nightmare Beach.
This episode is requested by Isaac from California. He had this to say.
Hey, guys. This is Isaac calling from Surf's Up, California. I just wanted to request Welcome to Spring Break, a.k.a. Nightmare Beach. It has stars both John Saxon and Michael Parks, so it's a good thing there. The killer in this film was an all-black leather biker suit. I think you guys would really dig it. So, yeah, hopefully you check out Nightmare Beach, a.k.a. Welcome to Spring Break. You guys are the best. Thanks.
This week is indeed Nightmare Beach from 1989, directed by Harry Kirkpatrick, a.k.a. actually quite famous Italian horror director Umberto Lenzi, the auteur
right
behind a couple of films I've watched recently, including Cannibal Ferox, which is unwatchable.
Oh, really?
But the soundtrack, quite fantastic.
What's that second word? Ferox?
Ferox, yeah.
Is that what Paul Bunyan had?
No, I believe he
had. Oh, Babe the Blue Ox there.
Oh, Babe the Blue Cannibal Ferox there. and also a cool kind of zombie-ish movie called Nightmare City. This is Nightmare Beach, continuing his round of nightmares.
Nightmare Town, Nightmare Apartment,
Nightmare Garbage Dump,
Nightmare Bathroom. Welcome to my world.
Oh, boy.
This is, I think, closest to Nightmare Garbage Dump, actually. This is a movie that confirms my opinion that, not opinion, but my feeling that these, like, MTV-esque spring break town situations
mm-hmm. yeah.
have zero appeal to me.
The thing is, you go to them, you probably are going to die. Or someone's dying. Whenever you saw the MTV Beach House, there was a dead girl in the pool.
You're like, someone's floating the wrong way in that beach house.
Yeah, like you know, Bill Bellamy died on one of those, right?
Yeah,
he's
R-I-D-D.
Been dead for years, which is unfortunate.
Jesse Camp, former VJ, now corpse.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he died. He was
Dave Holmes, he was murdered.
Kurt Loder was found dead.
Oh, no, wait, he's still alive. He just looked quite dead.
They just prop him up in a seat.
Kurt Loder, I feel like his secret nickname around the MTV offices was the mummy. Like, oh, shit, here comes the mummy. Everybody button up.
Oh, dude, now they got the Teen Wolf going on. MTV's got the Teen Wolf going on. How about MTV's The Mummy starring Kurt Loder? You can get some sexy-looking teens to go and fight him and, like try to get him back in the crypt.
I feel like every time Kurt Loder opens his mouth on MTV, I was like, oh, come on. We just look. It's not that channel anymore, Kurt. Just leave. And he's like, fire me. Go ahead and fire me.
I think he finally recently stepped down as the film critic there. That's what he's been doing for like 15
and
years.
They don't have any news. Do they have news anymore?
Oh, I've got no clue. What's Snooki reading the headlines these days?
Are they even rocking the vote is what I wanted to know.
Well, they had the last election was Vote or Die with P. Diddy, which I think was tied into Rock the Vote, quite unfortunately.
Oh. I think I saw John Norris asking for change on the way here. I should have asked him how things were going at MTV.
I watched a documentary that came out about REM's relationship with MTV and how like REM sort of came up like while MTV was coming up, so they both like helped each other. It was a pretty cool little movie.
They were the propaganda wing of
REM. Pretty much. But man, talk about like MTV flashback, dude, to all of those people looking in their prime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, video killed the radio star. So Nightmare Beach, huh?
This movie by the way, Nightmare Beach.
This movie also is weird because it came out in 1989. It looks like and should have come out in about 1984.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we're just kind of missing the era that this movie wished it lived in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just specifically like from the soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack, there's like Ronnie James Dio all over it. Like, I think he was a music consultant, actually.
No, was he really?
Yeah.
This is gorgeous, man. The soundscape and the music, I was kind of feeling it.
Well, because it's all like fake music. It's like fake Iron Maiden, fake like, and it was like Metallica.
The main song is like fake Tiffany or something.
Her name is Kirsten, by the way.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, this is like Spring Break fart rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what
we
have going on.
It was
here.
Like, Don't Take My Heart. I think it was the song.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I was hoping the killer would rip someone's heart out with that lyric.
Oh, yeah, that would have been cool. The killer in this movie kind of strays from his M.O. a few times, which is frustrating.
So what's this movie about?
This movie is about...
it's Spring Break.
Well, it's Spring Break. I was going to say, there may or may not be a ghost who's murdering people.
Mm-hmm.
There's like
a fake zombie.
It's like a fake paranormal element going on in this movie.
It's a Scooby-Doo situation, actually.
It's a very violent, boob-filled Scooby-Doo is what this movie is. So basically, there's a Spring Break town.
Booby-Doo. Had to get that in.
Bravo.
Let me interrupt you.
Yeah, let's
derail this for 2 minutes so I can say booby-doo.
That's an interruption I'll gladly take. it's a shitty town in shitty Florida. Not all of Florida's shitty. Well, most of it's shitty.
most of America.
Listen, this
shitty.
Movie was filmed in North Miami and fucking Fort Lauderdale, okay?
Yeah.
I was getting herpes just watching this movie. I mean, that's the thing about, I was saying about Spring Break, is like, I'm just watching this and I'm like, this is disgusting. That pool's gross. Mm-hmm. I don't want to drink at that bar. I don't even want to know what the restaurant bathroom is over there.
Well, that's the thing. Michael Parks, who plays the doctor in this movie, he's doing all these autopsies. Like, you know, the first thing he does is sees and disregards a staph infection. He's like, well, that's just part and parcel of what's going on here.
That couldn't have done it. Everybody's got one of these. So there's a motorcycle behelmeted killer going around electrocuting people with his super motorcycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've got...
It really needs to be explained at the end of the movie, and it's not.
Oh, sure. I want schematics for how this thing is wired, because what are we even talking about? But funny enough, actually, to sort of like dovetail from last week into this week, we start this movie back on death row.
We do.
Oh, right, yeah.
This dude, he's like a biker who's been accused of murdering this woman. He's just getting the chair, and it's this whole thing. It's what A Letter from Death Row did not have, which I always find bizarre, is the execution theater.
I love it, man.
I'm like, listen.
I'll take one for the front row of Death Row.
Yeah, no, that's, listen, 3% of me wishes I could be in a theater like that.
The thing
that
is, everybody who gets executed in a theater will undoubtedly say, I'm coming back.
Yes.
You know, because why would you want to just throw that out there? Maybe it'll stick. You know what I mean? Like,
you never know. Listen, you get killed, you go to the other side. Maybe there's an option, come back and torture people.
Honestly, that's the only time Satan is watching you die, is when you're in a theater and it's like this weird thing where like people are like, oh, yeah, this is good. Like, okay. I mean, maybe you're just as bad as he is now. I don't know. That's when Satan's watching.
I feel like the public relations person that brings everybody in is like, all right, and you know, she'll tell you the do's and don'ts. Like, you're not allowed to yell anything.
When to cheer, when they need the applause.
Yeah, no spitting.
If
it gets too intense, you go, you know, the exits are here, there, and there. And by the way, he will undoubtedly say that he's coming back, but magic doesn't exist, everybody.
Right. And I want everybody to calm down, because if you look under your seat right now, everybody's going to get a barf bag.
And when our convict tonight, Edward Diablo, comes out, I'm going to wave this newspaper up in the air, and I need you guys to cheer really loud.
We want the big energy getting right up.
I mean, this is a show, people. Come on, come on.
I love that this dude's name is Diablo, by the way.
But first, your warm-up execution, Lucifer T. Powers. Get out of here.
wow, they're grilling the priest first for the opening act?
Talk about last rites.
So this dude gets killed. Yeah, he makes the threat of, like, I'm coming back for ye.
Well, the first line in the movie, like, it's all this, like, tense, like, you know, the atmosphere of, like, about
no
to watch.
No audio, by the way. I thought my DVD was broken.
Ditto, yeah. And I was like, oh.
I kept turning it off.
And it's just quiet. You know, you see everybody. You don't see the warm-up lady. And then you see the guy get strapped in, and to break the ice, he yells out, I didn't kill your sister, bitch! Which is just like...
Maybe leave off the last word. And
yeah,
then
sure.
More believable?
Or more, you know, maybe you want to try and get empathy at the end there. Like, I'm innocent, you're killing an innocent man. When you yell that word out, I was like, ah, fuck it.
Well, but here's the thing, though, because the warden gets the, you know, he picks up the phone and he's like, any chance we're commuting this sentence or postponing? No, what's that? Nope. Why did I even bother calling? Okay. And he hangs up and he's like, well, sorry, Diablo. We're going through with this. Like, at that point, there's no amount of empathy that's going to help you for anything. I'm definitely telling people I'm coming for them from beyond the grave.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, all bets are off at that point, dude. And like Eric pointed out, the eyes of Satan are upon us.
And, you know, now Satan could do any number of things. He could make you almost a good guy, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what, like, Johnny Blaze is or something?
Yeah. Johnny Blaze, The Crow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many of them.
Oh, you know what the move is? Don't even say I'm coming back. All you have to do to freak everybody out is be like, time is on my side.
Yes, it is.
And then you get electrocuted, like, oh, fuck, that guy was a demon, and it's going to go inside. One of these days, the movie Fallen, right, everybody? Everyone's
I think the Rosenbergs said that when they were walking to the chair. And that's where the lyric came from.
It was Ethel's idea. Julian didn't want to do it, but she forced him into
it. Yeah, it's sort of just like the spying. Or the alleged. I think they were innocent.
Did they try to save their own hides and blame one another?
I don't know. I've never read the
testimonial.
I think it's all doctored. It's all phony baloney.
So,
yes, it is. Sorry.
John Goodman loves that scene.
Actually, though.
Man, he eats it up.
He really does.
That's a great... that's a totally great thing to do if you're about to be executed and you've got this, like... audience, like, ruin a pop song for somebody, you know?
Whenever it comes on the radio,
baby, you're a firework! And for that moment on, Katy Perry's firework is ruined for everybody.
You know what I'm doing? I'm doubling down. I'm singing every Beatles song I know just to fucking ruin the catalog, man.
I'm doing Miley Cyrus.
Oh, nice.
It's a party in the USA.
Yeah, that's a little more chilling. I'll edge you on being chilling in that regard.
It's also a song that we'll never play on the radio again, probably. Right?
Yeah, probably.
It's got a less of a half-life as the Beatles.
Muppet babies, you make our dreams come true.
Oh, I'm changing mine. Down in Fraggle Rock.
It's like, wow, that guy was really demented.
Save your worries for another day. Down in Fraggle Rock.
Zap. So this dude's dead, or is he? And then, like, you know, the one girl that he's calling a bitch and yelling at in the theater is the sister, who later comes on to be, like, one of the characters in the movie. So then we meet Skip and Ronnie. Skip is our main character. They're both football players from, you know... something university.
You couldn't tell from his performance, I'll tell you that much. The camera does not love this guy.
Which one?
Either.
Right.
Well, Ronnie, I thought, was the dude who plays the bad boy in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh.
The guy who Freddy makes it look like he hung himself in the jail cell.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's not, though.
Okay.
He looks
It's a
like,
different guy.
He looks like if you mixed equal parts... Mario Lopez, Scott Wolf, Scott Baio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see this coming together.
That's what you got.
And a little bit of scar tissue as well.
So they're down at this, you know, whatever the name of this town is, I can't remember.
I saw it on John Saxton's police car.
At the end of the movie, right? This is a big surprise.
Manatee Beach, which, by the way... best name for a beach town.
It's so ever. Awesome. My wife caught it too. She was like, "You have fun watching your Manatee Beach movie?" I was like, "What are you talking about, Manatee Beach?" Because she's from Florida, and I was like, "Oh, is that a real town?" She was like, "No, it's all over all the police stuff."
It makes sense though, because like if you want to pack your town with hard and sexy bodies, call it Manatee Beach, because no fat person worth their salt. I'm not going to Manatee Beach because like. Look at the Manatee Beach.
Hey, Sadak, you must be right at home, huh?
Exactly.
Hey, look at the manatee over there. I bet a sailor from the turn of the century would want to have sex with it. You guys hear about that? That's like the legend of the mermaids.
What?
Everyone was like, the mermaids, they're so beautiful. They exist. And apparently, a theory is all these sailors were getting all jazzed up over manatees. Because weight was beautiful back then.
Oh, okay.
Wait, but they knew they were manatees, right?
There's just a bunch of gray ladies out there. I don't know what they knew, man. I think they were all scurvied out and drunk.
Oh, that could be. Well, that's what I'm saying. So they maybe thought it was a lady.
Yeah.
But it was a manatee.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Either way, you can get in there.
Sure. So Skip and Ronnie, they pull into Manatee Beach.
They come just from blowing the orange bowl is the idea?
Well, Skip blew the orange bowl. Yeah. Ronnie just keeps reminding him about it every chance
he gets.
Because
I guess he's the wide receiver and he's the Skip's their quarterback, who threw 5 interceptions.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a bad orange bowl performance. And it's like, you know, they check into this shitty hotel and like, it's, you know, it's your classic Ronnie's a dirtbag pussy hound kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, he's part of the Beaver Patrol.
Oh, No. I'm sorry. He's the only fucking member of the Beaver Patrol.
Really? That's not real? I thought they took down Bin Laden.
No, you're thinking of SEAL Team 6.
Oh, okay.
Often confused with the Beaver Patrol.
I guess it wouldn't make sense for the Beaver Patrol to leave U.S. waters that much.
They don't have jurisdiction in Pakistan.
Here's the thing, though.
Well,
like,
neither did SEAL Team 6.
Hamina, hamina. Take that, American history. Now, the thing that's awkward about Ronnie is that Ronnie's like your asshole friend that you don't like hanging out with.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole time, he's, like, screaming shit like Beaver Patrol and this and that. And poor Skip is just like, okay, Ronnie, don't fucking kill me.
Two people do not a Beaver Patrol make. That's just, you know what? And I'm 32 years old, so I know that I'll never be part of a Beaver Patrol.
Right.
I'm glad.
Oh, come on. Don't sell yourself short. You got plenty to live for.
Well, I'm over the age of 30. I'm engaged, and I'm not an enormous asshole. So chances are I'll never make my stripes in the Beaver Patrol, but you need to roll 4 or 5 deep. You can't just be two dudes calling yourself a patrol.
Right,
of
you
beavers.
Got, you
well,
got
yeah, it's, it doesn't have anything to do with beavers. It's any kind of patrol can't be two guys because that's the saddest shit I've ever
Especially
seen.
Especially when one isn't even into it. So now you're just.
One man is definitely not a patrol of any kind.
So you got to be a super credible threat.
Yes,
the idea.
Exactly.
It's like in a Western when they round up a posse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to get like 6 or 7 dudes that will like do anything.
Yeah, they have to be into it.
Yeah.
And Skip is not into it.
Yeah.
Skip would have rather just skip spring break altogether.
I don't even know why he's here.
Like, I have no
idea. They go
you know
out
why?
To a bar, Listen. And he's like, a beer, and now, I'll just have a sip.
A beer, but the sun isn't down yet. I think Skip, I mean, look, he's not getting the deposit back on this shitty hotel.
Oh, yeah, he was like, yeah, man, we're going to go to Miami after I win the Orange Bowl. It's going to be great. It'll be ladies and Mai Tais. And then he fucking blows it.
Oh, so that's why he's all bummed out.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. But he's also, like, more mature and not a jerk, I guess.
Well, because this actor's, like, 34.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of, like, 50-year-old party dudes in this movie.
There's a lot of running gags. I mean, because, like, basically, like, it's Skip and Ronnie. There is not a really good thread here because it's not a very good movie. So, like, Skip and Ronnie, or Skip is your main character, and, like, he's woven throughout. But there's a lot of, like, spring break archetypes thrown around.
Yep.
My favorite being the pickpocket, who never gets his due.
No, the pickpocket should have been murdered, and he does not. There's a guy that's going around just stealing, like, wallets from out of ladies' purses and dudes' and pants and
that
shit.
That guy is like a 50-year-old dressed like Bart Simpson.
Yeah, he's been doing this a long
he's
time.
He's got his like skateboard and his like bleach blonde hair, and he just looks like, oh, man. Like, it looks like he got like dragged on the highway for a little bit. This face has got miles on it.
Speaking of which, coming up a little later in the movie, somebody gets dragged on the highway a little bit.
Maybe that's why I was thinking about it.
So, you know, we settle in with these two mimbos, and then we cut to like random hitchhiker. And then, so this is our introduction to what this movie is. And this is the scene that I've held in my brain for, I don't know, 20, 23 years. I didn't know what this movie was. I've said this before, and I'll just gloss over it now, but I saw this movie on USA Up All Night, hosted by Gilbert, back in the day, like in a hotel room. And me and my little sister, we were on vacation, and the rest of our family was like down at the pool, and we're just like hanging out watching movies or watching TV or whatnot. And this movie comes on, and it's like, so this motorcycle guy's electrocuting people. And that's the only memory I had for what this movie was. Until seriously, like, 3 years ago, a friend of ours in Chicago mentioned the movie, and I was like, is it this? And she was like, yeah, it's that movie. And I was like, fucking Lifetime mystery finally solved.
Because, yeah, those hotel movies you get, because, A, it's, you know, especially then, it's pre... You hit info and you know what movie you're watching.
This was just, we knew who Gilbert was.
Yes.
And we were like, oh, he's hosting a thing. This was also how I discovered Up All Night.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Gilbert Gottfried's doing it. Oh, he hosts a horror movie thing? Okay. And we watched like 20 minutes of this.
And did you ever think you'd be able to ask him about Up All Night? Because new listeners may not know, but we had a previous conversation with Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, I didn't. And actually, when we booked the Gilbert interview, I was like, I got to ask him about Up All Night. It kind of changed my life. So anyway, this hitchhiker trying to get to Manatee Beach, I guess. It's the hot spot. Why go to Daytona when you can go to Manatee? And so up comes this dude on a motorcycle. He's dressed all in black.
He's kind of dressed like the Wraith a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. A little lot of bit like the Wraith, actually. Yeah. Is this pre or post Wraith?
This is definitely post Wraith.
Because this is 89.
Like, yeah. I'm guessing off the top of my head, and this is often wrong. If you haven't listened to the show, you might notice I get years wrong constantly. But I'm guessing 86 for the Wraith. Let me look it up.
So while Eric does a little internet research, so up pulls this, you know,
this
motorcycle
88,
enthusiast.
80,
this is 89.
Never get on a... Never. I mean,
86, yeah!
Yeah, we're post-Wraith.
Hitchhiking is dangerous no matter what, but especially when the person you're hitchhiking from is eerily silent the whole time. Like,
and you can't see their face.
If you get on... If you're like, hey, man, are you going to Manatee Beach? And then, like, you just get a nod to come on the motorcycle. It's like,
yep.
I'll get the next one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you
totally.
Gotta say something.
So he kind of just picks her up. He starts driving very fast. She's screaming to get off. He goes to, like, a dead-end part of this highway, which I guess, whatever. And just, like, something on this motorcycle electrocutes
He's
this
got
girl.
These big red buttons. She's on the back. It's like a, it's a second seat. It's not like, you know
right.
what I mean? Like,
it's the hot seat.
It's the hot seat. And, like, yeah, it just... This is, like, kind of his modus operandi that he tries to do a couple times in the movie. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's a very complicated way to kill somebody.
Sure, but the thing you're thinking is, well, this motorcyclist, he's got an electric chair on his motorcycle, much like the biker dude electrocuted.
Wait, Diablo?
And so that's the thing. So then you're supposed to start thinking like, oh, shit, man, the ghost of Diablo, he may have risen from the grave,
right.
And he's here to... I guess, mess with Spring Break for some reason.
Yeah, Biker Voorhees.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Jason with a suntan?
I'm working on my tan.
Now I just can't. Now I'm just picturing him with his shirt off, which is making me picture of our conversation about who we'd have sex with, Jason or Freddie. So now I'm on Spring Break right now.
He's all flustered.
We also, early on in the film, are introduced to, of course, screen legend... B-movie legend John Saxon.
God bless him.
He's, you know, he's 5 years away from Nightmare on Elm Street at this point. And he's in this movie. He's playing a cop again. And so he is introduced as having a feud with these bikers. So, like, this biker gang, like, pulls up outside the bar. Skip and Ronnie sort of like get into it a little bit because they're trying to park where these dudes park.
It's great because the when the new head of the bikers is like, hey, and you know, John Saxon's like, you got to get out of here, kids. You hit the bricks. And he's like, hey, man, this is our hangout. Like, do you have like a permit? Like, this is our this is our legally appointed hangout.
No, Steve, this falls under a little word called turf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, that's the problem.
It's a common law hangout, is what you're saying?
Yep. No permits required. It's just turf. You're hanging outside of this bar that looks like a shitty pizzeria.
And this is what turf wars are.
Yes. Okay. So here come Skip and Ronnie come in, and the new leader of the demons, which is a fella named Dog, D-A-W-G.
Oh, nice.
He thinks there might be a little bit of a turf war here.
Okay, yeah. I could see that. You know, some stepping on your turf a little bit.
Well, John Saxon shoos all these guys away, so
John
Saxon's
wearing a wig-holding hat most of this movie.
I just got an idea for a better movie, really quick. Bikers in Outer Space.
Okay.
And it's a turf war, and the movie's called AstroTurf.
Ooh, I like it.
All right, now we can go back to the Nightmare Beach.
Wait, if that movie gets canceled, we could make a movie about football being played on the moon, and that could also be called AstroTurf.
Yeah, like the longest yard, but like it's like your
space measurements.
Yeah, you got to like slow jump because gravity's all fucked up.
Oh, totally, dude. That's and awesome. How about this? Burt Reynolds is the team owner.
I would love it. Or as the cop in AstroTurf. Burt Reynolds was born to play a space cop.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's not too late either.
What kind of spaceship does this guy drive? It isn't too late. You're right.
John Saxon's name in this movie is Stryker. Which I'm thinking about changing my name to Stryker. If I had to go, you know, my last name, it's Polish. It's got a silent J in it.
It's a real mess.
You know, Steve Stryker. There you go.
It's pretty badass.
It's
but
a little dynamic.
Here's the test, though.
I'm not tall enough to do it.
Well, yeah. I hadn't thought of that. But, but before any of that, this is how you get... Here's how I will allow you to do this.
Uh-huh.
How you spelling Stryker.
Oh, ooh. Probably Stryker.
Yep, you got it. You got it. You got it. You got it.
To preserve the Polak, you need the Y. Yes. And I got a wreck of a Polish name. I almost think we should like rock, paper, scissors for Stryker.
No, we'll just both do it, and then it can be We Hate Movies with Andrew and the Stryker Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I kind of like this.
Oh, or you could get into professional wrestling and be the Stryker Brothers.
But we gotta pump the brakes a little bit. I don't want us to run into a beaver patrol or anything like that.
I mean, the thing is...
Because that's starting to sound very...
Yeah, I mean, the problem is neither of us could be married and live separately. If we were the Stryker Brothers, we'd have to live in a house with a bunk bed.
Clubhouse.
Yes. Clubhouse. And a bunk. I mean, it's cool, and there's pictures of sexy ladies and we're drinking beers, but we definitely sleep in a bunk bed.
Yeah, and we fetishize the police department and have handcuffs and nightsticks, but we totally like women.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Absolutely.
We go looking.
Speaking of pictures of ladies, this is around the time we get the first of about 4 or 7 just boob montage in this movie. Because let's remember, everybody, this is a movie that takes place on spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens on spring break.
And it's another one of those, like, man, this is just wholly unappealing for me. Yep. It's just like, we're just dancing in a large public beach venue. You know it smells. I'm sorry.
Oh.
You know it smells. Oh, everybody smells like shit. There's garbage everywhere. And this is coming from somebody who lives in New York City where everybody smells like shit and there's garbage everywhere.
Every bathroom is wet and there's sand in place. Like, you're like, dude, we're a mile away from the beach.
Yeah, well,
how is
the
there
sand
in this bathroom?
Yep. Yeah. And also, you know, spring break, all the dumb 20-year-olds, they're throwing them at the bad beach. This is where, like, the sewer runoff is. This isn't the prime real estate.
Telling you, man, Stryker Brothers take on spring break. I don't know.
No, you don't take it on. You clean it up.
Oh, no. We divide and conquer. Stryker Brothers!
So, also, one of the more obnoxious points of dialogue in this movie, there's not a lot of memorable dialogue in this movie, but before they go out for their first night of Beaver Patrol, Ronnie...
It's one guy. He's barely... Uh-huh. He's like an enthusiast at that point. You're not a patrolman.
So Ronnie, noted beaver enthusiast... he's trying
to... No. Oh, he doesn't get it enough to be that. He's a hobbyist.
He's trying to convince Skip that, like, it's still worthwhile to go out. And he's talking about, like, I guess they've been friends for years is the idea. And he says, like, hey, Skip, remember that time we ate all the candy in our Easter baskets? And I'm like, hey, Ronnie, could you do me a quick favor and shut the flying fuck up?
What are you talking about?
It's an even
Easter baskets.
Even Skip is like, I've been friends with this guy for too fucking long, man.
Like, what? It's not even like a story. It's not like, remember when we learned this lesson when we ate? It's just, hey, man, remember those Easter baskets? Pretty crazy.
Anyway, Beaver Patrol is on the hunt. Let's go.
And there's so many weird...
Are you going to wear your jacket tonight? I bought you this Beaver Patrol jacket. I got it sized for you.
On the shoulders, the Easter Bunny, bro. It's coming up. We're right around Easter.
Oh, and on the back it says, Mr. Kaczynski sucks. Remember our gym teacher in fourth grade, Mr. Kaczynski?
And on the lower back it says, wear damn eggs. You know, they're going to go look for the eggs.
Yeah, yeah, I got it, Ronnie. I got it, pal.
Oh, man. You want to just sit here and talk about Excitebike for a while? No, Ronnie, I don't. I know you like Excitebike.
Hey, Skip, do you remember the Nintendo Power Pad?
God, I know. You know, Ronnie.
Remember how your dad had one and, like, it never worked?
Let's go to the bar. Let's go to a loud bar right now. Which is the loudest one we can go to?
That's what's really weird about this movie is that they, like, there's so many, like, you're thinking it's about this killer, but there's so many, like, side characters doing side things that have almost nothing to do with the plot. I mean, some of them are future murder victims.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's what I realized after it was over with. And I've seen this movie maybe, like, 3 or 4 times at this point. But what makes this different from, like, your average slasher movie is, like, there's no controlled group of friends.
Yes.
Right? Like... You know, counselors in a Friday the 13th movie, like, that's just there, and that's what you deal with. This is, like, a town where hundreds of people are blowing in on vacation, and they're trying to focus on, like, these two idiots, but mainly just Skip, but then, like, this other girl who's a bartender, whose sister got murdered, like, she comes back into the movie. But, like, they don't have a core group of deadbeats, basically.
Yes,
so it's, like, we have to make them characters in any way we can. So you've got the pickpocket who doesn't get it. You've got... my most hated character trope, the fucking prankster.
Yes, the
this
prankster.
Joker.
Why would you go all the way to Miami not to get laid? Like, not to get laid, but, like, to specifically turn everyone around you, man or woman, off.
But that's the thing. That's what these people, these sick, twisted, fucking practical joke douchebags. And let me tell you, I hate practical jokes.
Wait,
these fucking people.
But do you hate impractical jokes?
I hate all kinds of jokes. Jokes! It's a joke! And that's the thing, right? Every time they get called out for being stupid, it's like, what? I'm just joking! These fucking subhuman people.
They wouldn't know a joke if it hit them in the face.
Well, that's what it's... I mean, look...
I turned into Jackie Mason for that one.
I'm getting off on a rant here, but the point is, like, I hate practical jokes. Shelley in Friday the 13th Part 3 is another example. It's like, you're being so obnoxious, and you wonder why people hate your fucking guts.
Yeah.
It's like, because, dude, just get a beer and shut up.
Yeah,
you
know George what? Clooney.
That's very true. Tom Savini never did this, by the way. Like, Tom Savini went to parties, talked about cool music, drank beer, and smoked a lot of reefer.
Sure.
And that's what he did. He didn't go like, oh, no, something stabbed me in the eye. I'm bleeding. Yes. And everyone goes, what?
Exactly. No. Like, we're introduced to this fucking... Yeah. Pervert. He's like laying face down in the pool. He's got like a chicken cutlet on his shoulder and he's pretending someone stabbed him to death. And then it's like, oh, why does everybody hate me? Why don't I have a lady friend? I'm just joking. Man, I'm just joking. Oh, do I hate it? I hate it so much.
What?
No, sorry.
Let's just get through his pranks right now. Yeah. Let's just go through his pranks.
A slew of pranks.
I like this idea. We'll go, like the Entourage movie, we'll go thread by thread.
there's a couple of goobers here, man. So my favorite prank of his is where he pretends to be a shark. He's like swimming in the ocean with a shark fin on. And what's great, and this is what's great, not only about the Manatee Beach PD, but the time we were in America where a cop could just respond to a shark at a beach and start opening fire with his revolver at it.
Sure. When in doubt, blow it away.
It would have been great if he killed this kid, but unfortunately he does not.
Because he stands up and he goes, stop shooting, I was just joking!
Yeah.
And everybody in the town of Manatee Beach wants to see this dude tarred and feathered. So that's one. The pool gag, that's the first one.
As people start dying, he dresses up and like does like blue face makeup to look like a corpse. And everyone, this guy's like, oh my God, there's another kill. There's another kill. Everyone runs. And he goes, guys, I was just joking.
And it's like, why is everybody mad at me? I'm joking.
All right, Andrew, you have to go on a bachelor party, which I've been on a lot of bachelor parties. Some are good. Some are very not. You know, you wind up. But here's the thing. You have a choice. It's a
choose your own adventure.
You have to go to a bachelor party wherein...
Is it my bachelor party?
No. It's like a friend of yours, but you're really roped into it.
Okay.
One of which you know the Beaver Patrol is going to.
That's turn to page 114 for that one.
The other of which you know that there's a practical joker that's just going to be on the loose.
Page 122.
Oh, man.
Or actually, the third would be a space vampire. That would be page 199.
Space Vampires was my favorite Choose Your Own Adventure.
Of course it was. It's the best one.
Oh, fuck. You know what? I'm going out hunting with the Beaver Patrol. Because I can't.
Holy shit.
I mean, I'm not participating, but I'll put up with those fucking baboons over some dude that goes, oh, man, I think I got something in my eye, and pokes a fucking coffee creamer with a fork and pretends his eyeball popped. And he's just joking. These fucking people with the practical jokes impracticals, whichever one.
Yeah.
They're both useless. They're both wastes of time. So, yes, Steve, I would drink with the Beaver Patrol.
Bread with the Beaver Patrol?
Oh, sure. And by break bread, it's probably eating at an Arby's.
Oh, definitely.
Okay with that.
After nobody got anywhere, it's like, oh, man, bitches, right? that's how every night of the Beaver Patrol ends, is them really rightfully not being talked to at all. And then blaming the ladies themselves.
All over curly fries at Arby's.
Yikes.
You know the audacity of Arby's? I've been seeing these internet ads where they're like talking about, oh man, putting corned beef and sauerkraut and Russian dressing on some rye bread. I guess somebody had to do it first. I'm like, you need a fucking Reuben sandwich, you idiots.
It's been around for 2,000 years.
Have you seen this?
No.
It's a commercial, like internet ads
for
Arby's.
That's literally offensive.
It's like, somebody had to do it first. I'm like, yeah, delicatessens hundreds of years ago, you fucking morons.
That is fucked up. I didn't know where you're going with that, but that's fucked up.
We will save the prankster's death for the end, because that does happen at the end of the movie. However,
it really rubs me the wrong way.
Can we talk about another side story?
Oh, yeah, please.
The world's worst prostitute.
She's just lining up some sugar daddies.
Well, I don't understand. Here's the thing. Like,
the world's worst prostitute.
Here's the thing.
She's pretty successful, her credit.
She is, but she's very lucky in that. Like, because her thing is she doesn't let anyone know that she's a sex worker. She's like, she's not like, hey, man, $50 for this, $100 for that, $200 for whatever.
You wanted to have her name tag on?
No,
exactly.
But
this is what you do, man. You got to come up with a sob story.
So
that the sex is even more depressing.
Well, that's the thing. A, you're putting me... Her thing is she'll go up to people and she'll be like, usually like older dudes that are gross, and she'll be like, hey, man, oh, do you have a quarter? Because I need to call my parents because I flunked out of med school and the tuition was too much and da-da-da-da-da-da. And whatever you could do. And then, like, one thing leads to another. They go up to her gross hotel room. And, like, it's always the shot of, like, well, that's interesting that you know, the circus isn't hiring. And they'll go in. And then, like, they'll do, like, a bewitched flip. And then they'll go out.
Yeah. And they've been serviced.
And they'll be, well, thank you. That was wonderful. And I hope this $100 helped. Or a non-determined amount of money. Here's the thing. That happens to me. I'm like, I got $20, man. Like, that was cool.
But that's Steve, I'm so glad that you brought this character because
she
raises
pass over you. First of all, she knows she can see when a man might have some money. Although I don't know about that 600-pounder gentleman that thinks she's a masseuse.
But this is
a weird one.
You guys are bringing up the biggest question I have with this movie,
please.
Right? Because you know she's like. They're coming out like folding checks and being like, here's to next semester at med school, sweetheart, and whatever else, right? What kind of high rollers are spring breaking, you know, at Manatee Beach? Who are these people? How are these dudes like, you know, if this dude can, let's say, drop like $1,000 on a night with this woman, right?
Yeah.
Why is he not like, oh, why would we go to your grody manatee beach motel you're staying
Let's go to my whatever. Well, I guess you're married at that point.
Right.
Well, but I'm saying, like, if this dude can drop a grand on an evening with a lady, why not throw in a couple more bucks and get a nicer hotel? We only know about this character because she's staying at the same dump motel as our protagonist. They're, like, across the hall neighbors.
The one thing I will say about checks, you're assuming it's $1,000, but it's 1989. You could really write a check for $41. In 1989. Yeah. You know what I mean? You write a personal check to someone for
By the way, fucking with my checkbook with Steve Stein.
Steve Stryker, excuse me.
Oh, but no, yes, of course. But the first guy that comes out, and you're right, they all get progressively older and grosser as the movie goes
Until
on.
We get to the masseuse guy, who's this like 600-pound guy who's like, I got back problems.
That guy looks like rest in peace, Bam Margera's pervert uncle.
Oh, right.
Don Vito.
Did he die in prison?
No, he died outside of prison, but he's dead.
Okay, that's
he's
good.
In the
so
ground.
He exploded or something?
No, I think he just kind of died of some fat guy thing. I don't know. He's dead, but he looks like that guy. But the first guy, though, he definitely says, like, this should get you through next semester of med school.
And
so you're talking $41.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, college was cheaper back then.
It wasn't $41 cheap.
People, you know, you talk to these baby boomers out there, and they're like, I did three shifts at Arby's, and I was able to pay for college. I don't know what you millennials are doing.
Yeah. Also, Arby's invented the fucking Reuben sandwich.
Try to work for 3 days and you can pay for college, but you don't want to work.
All I'm saying is I need a price.
Get a job!
A price card needs to be discussed up front.
Yeah.
What's for what and where's for where.
Well, to this movie's credit, we don't have to see any of those scenes, so the negotiations...
So you would approach this woman and say, can I see the menu? Excuse me, do you have a menu of any kind?
Just something I could look at with, like, rates and options.
I mean, I might be Steve Stryker, but I have my limits. I don't want to get overcharged.
The Stryker brothers haven't won the belt yet, so the money's not really coming in.
But that happens a couple times. Married to this plotline is the pervert.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Thank you. I love this guy. This guy kind of looks like if all four members of We Hate Movies combined.
Yeah.
I think I'm calling it the creepularity.
Well, that's kind of like our Captain Planet. When all of our rings go up, this guy emerges.
This living nightmare, man.
Which is fitting because I said out loud while watching it last night, this guy wishes he looked like Clint Howard.
Yeah, he kind of does. Something. He's got a
sweet mustache.
He's got a sweet mustache. He's bald. He's portly. He's a little taller than Clint Howard.
Yes, that's true.
And he's got an eye that's going every which way but loose. So
all the better for peeping.
So, well, like, his favorite movie is clearly Psycho because he's a motel entrepreneur who's got a peephole in a fucking laundry closet where he's spying on this prostitute.
Unfortunately, he does not take it to killing women in the shower.
No, that's the job of the killer in this
movie. I guess
movie.
He's kind of a red herring in the earlier part of the movie.
Yeah, if it was a better made movie, he might have been.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing. The movie didn't really think to carry that through. They could have. It's right there, bright as day to anyone
the
with
movie,
half a brain.
It kind of just says, hey, Diablo's back from the dead for the whole thing.
It wants you to believe that. I think there's a little bit of red herring going on with John Saxon towards the middle to the end.
That's true. Crooked cop.
Crooked cop. So basically, but this pervert, I think she's like the third person to get killed. Like, it's after the masseuse guy goes out. The pervert, like every time the pervert goes into the broom closet or whatever to watch,
he's getting a peep in.
And I guess, unfortunately, this guy couldn't bring his electrical equipment into the broom closet, so he has to choke him with piano wire.
Well, that's the thing. The killer sort of goes against his MO a couple times in this movie, and it's when he's deciding to do these indoor killings.
But honestly, it does make sense once the killer is revealed. I think it kind
You're
of
totally
makes
right.
Sense.
Yeah. You're totally right. And well, you know what? We'll leave the reveal to the end, much like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Ooh.
But so, yeah, this motel clerk gets garroted. And, like, the lady looks and sees an eyeball, like, in the hole, which it's kind of weird because, like, when you look at what she's looking at, it's a huge hole in the wall. And she's like, say, that hole didn't have an eye in it before.
Wait, did it have something else in it, if you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord, no, it's definitely not a glory
it's
hole.
It's spring break.
Spring break!
So she, by the way, in this, in, we can talk about her outfit for 2 seconds, her death outfit, which is a large pink and blue Garfield-like house shirt with an Aries symbol on it. And
I love
like,
it.
And I was like, oh, fuck, because that's the... The girl from Troll 2 wears almost the same shirt.
Really?
But apparently there was a series of Garfield t-shirts in the 80s that
I remember
used Zodiac symbols.
Yes.
As well as Garfield.
Wow. That, you are bound to attract killers if you're combining the Zodiac and Garfield.
Well, but, I think that they were thrilled that the Zodiac was, like, they were like, oh, it's over with. Now we can reclaim it.
I think if Steve Stryker approached this woman,
could you wear the Garfield shirt? How much for the Garfield shirt?
Well, it turns out there's two things that Garfield really loves.
Put it on.
He loves lasagna and he loves astrology. The best Garfield performances was always when Saturn was in retrograde. Or Mercury, or however that horseshit works.
Yeah, or whatever that bull hockey is.
So she finds the dude is dead, and she runs to the elevator. And in the elevator, thankfully, there's power lines where this guy kind of just zaps her head.
And no, this is the one where it's in the mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's uncomfortable.
It's like electrical wires like in your mouth. And this movie, speaking of Tom Savini, I mean, listen... The whole thing is Umberto Lenzi tried to deny that he like directed this movie and it was actually this other guy, but like this movie has the gore effect style of Italian like extreme horror stuff. Like this girl just melts basically. It's like she looked in the Ark of the Covenant. Her whole fucking skeleton is shown by the end of this.
Is this the one with the furnace, or am I getting ahead of myself?
No, the furnace is a little later.
Oh, the furnace is later. But
it's like that's an Ark of the Covenant, my friend.
Yeah, that's a real brutality.
So the next person to die is our buddy Ronnie.
Oh, thank God. And you're just praying for Ronnie's death from minute one anyway.
R.I.P. Beaver Patrol, unfortunately.
They fought valiantly.
They died with their boots on.
He died doing what he loved, sexually harassing women.
He did. No, he does. One of my favorite parts is, so like at the bar, Skip, and who will become his girlfriend later in the movie, is this bartender who like is she's had it. She's kind of, I think she should probably stop living in this town in general.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, yeah, she's a local.
Is Diablo killed her sister?
Correct.
Supposedly,
correct. Yes. And one of the things he catches her eye because like this girl who's actually the reverend's daughter comes up to him and it looks like he's about to get killed. Actually, she's like, "Hey man, you want to go out in the alley and have a good time?" And I'm like, "Is there like three guys out there that are gonna beat this shit out of me?"
Right.
That's where I go when I hear that.
Yeah. So Ronnie goes out in the alley with this girl. This girl is not the reverend's daughter, though.
What?
This is a biker chick.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's talking about...
The reverend's daughter harasses Skip. Yes.
Exactly, but Ronnie is lured out by the biker.
He's actually just walking the boardwalk drunk at this point in the movie, and he's like going up to everyone, like, "Hey, you want to see something?" Like,
yeah, and you know what, Ronnie? I think it's about 8:45 p.m.
I'm inventing chat roulette! What if there was a thing where you could, like, look into a TV and someone is just showing you their shit? That's like a $1 million idea.
What? There's too many of us doing it.
Oh, man, the numbers are all messed up.
Oh, goodness.
So nerd in the back is like, "Oh no, our pervert model has failed. We didn't account for the amount of gross people.
My God, look at those numbers.
My God, it's full of dicks."
Bravo.
I'm afraid I can't let you jerk off.
Dave. So Ronnie goes into the alley with this lady friend, and we know her to be part of the demons.
Uh-huh.
And so here comes the rest of the demons, and they kick the shit out of him, Dog included, because this is Dog's lady, by the way.
Yeah, and I was pretty thrilled about this. Oh, sure.
Yeah, the day of the dog has come.
It's so cathartic, man, just watching this dude get his ass handed to him.
You know, I'm kind of wishing this movie was about the motorcycle gang.
Yeah.
Well, because here's the thing. Either you have a movie with a motorcycle gang.
Yeah.
Or you have a movie about spring break.
Yep.
And nary the two should ever meet.
No.
It's just, it's really awkward. And it's ruining spring break for everybody else that there's a biker gang.
This Italian's like, what are the two major forces of Americana? Spring break and biker gangs.
Yeah, you know, Umberto wasn't wrong.
So he gets the shit kicked out of him. The woman steals his medal. He's got this, like, I guess, whatever. It's like a football medal.
Is it a medal that you get if you lose the orange ball, but yes. It's like a participatory?
I think,
like,
that's why it's like silver.
Yeah.
It's like second place.
I think it's actually pewter, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I pewter medaled at the orange ball.
But that's all college sports is. You know, it's like, you're still winners.
No, none of those college athletes are winners, and that's the problem with it.
You're right.
The greatest thing, and this is, it's kind of, I love in a movie, or in real life, I've seen it happen a couple times in real life, not as much as I'd like, and not really to anyone I've ever known.
Wait, a biker murdering people?
No, before the murder. Someone getting, like, a drink poured on them.
Oh, yeah.
And this chick takes this bottle of, like, Wild Turkey or Old Granddad or whatever it is and just starts dumping it on this guy.
He's been beaten to shit.
Yeah.
And it's not like a fuck you pour and then I'm out of here. She's letting this bottle empty out on this guy. Bravo, lady. Bravo.
I'm just giving her a standing ovation in my living room. This is the Beaver Patrol.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this is not a sympathetic character.
No, not at all. No. And then, like, he wakes up and the killer is there and he's like, hey, biker, you think you're hot shit? You want to fight? You want to fight? And the biker's like, all right, come on. Got to get him closer to the bike. Got to get him closer to the bike.
Oh, why'd I do it this way? All right, come on, pal. Come closer to the bike.
He nurses him back to health for 12 months.
And then
amongst the dunes.
Just so you can sit on the back of my bike and I can kill you proper.
Oh, don't come after me too fast. You've been unconscious for a long time. You've only had milk and water in your body. Have some bread first.
I'd love it if he was blind, so it's like Frankenstein when that blind man takes the monster into his cabin. Oh, it's perfect.
So he grabs his hand and makes him touch the part of the bike that electrocutes him. He electrocutes him.
And RIPD Ronnie. RIPD, any possibility of the Beaver Patrol success on spring break.
Lights up like a Roman candle.
And John Saxon is the chief, and Michael Parks is the doctor.
Coroner.
The coroner.
Coroner / medical examiner, probably.
And then there's a mayor involved, and now we're in Jaws country.
Oh, big time. This guy's aping Murray Hamilton like nobody's business.
I don't understand this. Like, the good thing about spring break is it's only a week, and everyone's here anyway. So he's like, oh, no, if the word about the murders gets out, spring break's going to be ruined. I'm like, didn't you already make your money on spring break?
It's such horse shit. Like, specious reasoning anyway. Like, bunch of kids, like, oh, hey, 30,000 kids, some guy from the Beaver Patrol got murdered. No one's going anywhere.
No one
cares. Spring break is safer. This killer's doing the Lord's work.
But it's exactly. Like in Jaws with the shark. They don't want to tell the populace because it would ruin Shark Week.
Well, he's concerned. Murray Hamilton is specifically concerned about the 4th of July. But also, that's like a whole season. Yeah. As Steve said, this is literally like a week, and then all these fucking horny pigs are out of here anyway.
You've already got the hotel reservations. Right. You can't break those. You can make that
true.
Money.
That's true. And then it goes back to Sewage Beach anyway.
Take all the manatee signs down. Put sewage back up.
Let her rip.
But the weird thing is, so like in Jaws, they don't hide murder. They're just like, oh, fuck, it's going to get out. It's going to suck. Here, like, John Saxon is burying these dudes outside of town limits, it's kind of weird.
In like a salt mine,
dude.
Or something.
I thought it was a salt mine. Is it like a thing?
It's extra sand.
Well, I had to ask my wife this. I was like, "You're from Florida, honey. Is this where they keep the beach sand
corpses?
Are they trucking in a bunch of sand to the it's just a field full of sand.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It's really
weird. Wait, did she confirm it made no sense?
Yeah, she was like, my husband's an idiot, but this makes no sense.
So the weird thing is, like, they're having these conversations, you know, your standard Jaws-esque conversations, like, we got, and like, Michael Parks is the one guy who's like, look, how are we going to hide these murders? Like, it's not right, blah, blah, blah. And they have this weird, like, dropped line, which is actually, like, an interesting character note where
the mayor puts him in his place?
Yeah, where the mayor is like,
Oh, yeah, shut up. We own you, you crooked medical examiner, because we won't tell anybody about those pills you give all your pretty boys.
And it's just, like, Michael Parks just looks like, well, all right. And then, like, John Saxon's like, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. And, like, that's the end of that.
I kind
of
want this to be Michael Parks' movie.
Yeah. Well, like, because he's the only fucking legitimate actor in this movie.
No, John, and John Saxon.
Well, okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's
that's
being,
the two.
Andrew, I'm not a legitimate actor.
Get out of here, John Saxon. I pay you to clean my toilet, not guest on my podcast.
You know, all I need is two more toilet cleanings. I can afford a good wig, and you'll see me at the Oscars next year.
Speaking of which, you got any staples or what?
Wait, he's got to get that clog fixed first.
It's pretty bad.
Hey, wait a second. Serious question. In all serious question of We Hate Movies. In all the years that he's been active in the thespian community, has John Saxon ever attended the Academy Awards?
Ooh, probably not.
I'm leaning on ooh, probably not also.
He might have been Jodan Baker's date one year.
No, you know what he was doing? He was cold calling Charlotte Rampling this year. Hey, we're kind of in the same age bracket. I'll pick you up at 7.
Remember She's me, like, baby.
Hey, yeah. You're kind of racist. I'm kind of racist.
I hate what happened to Hollywood.
That's his opening line.
Johnny Sachs, want to be my date to the 1979 Academy Awards?
No, I don't want to go that bad, Baker.
Can you believe that Marlon Brando got that native to accept? What a... I'm not going to even say it.
John Saxon and Jodan Baker's slightly racist Oscar phone calls. Oh, yeah. I want those tapes.
That was what, before live tweeting, it was Jodan Baker and John Saxon on the phone to each other for the entire Oscar
Just
ceremony.
Just bitching about the ceremony.
Ah, not her again.
Don't worry, I'm going to get there next year. I got a movie coming out called Joysticks. That'll get me there.
Yeah, did you cast the role of idiot yet?
Ordinary people, Joe Don, does anyone watch these movies? I was in a Bruce Lee movie once.
Once.
Yeah.
Mercy.
But yeah, that whole thing gets dropped, and Michael Parks is like drinking a bunch. At a certain point, Skip like... threatens Michael Parks, finds out what's going on. He and Michael Parks tells him where all the bodies are buried. So he goes out there, and here's the thing. Commissioner Stryker, whatever your name is, sure. You're now in a murder conspiracy. And the way murder conspiracies work is anybody who finds out about them have to be murdered.
Yep.
So he goes out there, he digs up his friend, he's like, oh, Ronnie, what'd they do to you, man?
Dude, this is one of the worst bits of acting you'll ever see. It's all just this guy like, oh, Ronnie, man, I'm sorry, man. You know what? The Beaver Patrol was a great idea, man. I just can't believe you're dead. Oh, and I lost the orange ball. And, you know, I'm going to carry on the legacy of the Beaver Patrol. Remember that time we ate all the candy in our Easter baskets? And I'm just looking at my watch like, this is the fucking worst delivering monologue you've ever heard.
And he's like, hey, kid, when you're done trying to act, there's a scene about to start. Saxon style.
He's right behind him with the squad car, and he's got a shovel. And I really thought this was going to, hey, kid, dig your own grave.
Oh, yeah.
Which I would have loved.
Sure. John, I love that in a movie.
He gives him, he's like, all right, kid. You didn't see nothing, or else I'm going to kill you. Now go back to society.
I'm sorry. It's one of the greatest John Saxon deliveries ever. He goes, you're going to get in your car, and you're going to drive north till you see snow.
That's pretty good.
And I was like, whoa, badass.
Oh, you mean drive north till you hit the FBI, who's about to come and destroy? Like, you can't let this kid walk out of here.
Kid, you're naive. States' rights.
Listen, who knew that the plot of Nightmare Beach was going all the way to the top? It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
So now he knows Saxon's in on it. He talks to his girlfriend.
And
there.
They wake up the president.
Yeah, they pick up the red phone. They're like, you got to get down to fucking Manatee Beach, Florida.
No, I don't.
Oh no, this is George H.W. here.
Right, but they probably made it in 87.
Oh,
but
okay.
Maybe it was a transitional. Maybe that's why the feds don't get involved.
Ron, I think I'll still leave this one up to you. Don't need this on my record. Don't need to deal with Manatee Beach, Ron. Don't need to do it. Not going to go down to Manatee.
I'm not
going to do it.
I'm not going to regulate the crooked sheriffs. The crooked sheriffs want to bury people across state lines. I'm not going to regulate that.
Well, I mean, it's low crime if they don't exist.
You know, it's weird down there, George. They got a whole parking lot full of sand. I thought the sand went on the beach, George. Why don't you get to the bottom of that?
Oh, no. My... The kid that was killed down there was part of my son's alma mater, the Beaver Patrol. Hey, Poppy, you see my friend from the Beaver Patrol got murdered? You got to do something.
They were the rival to the Skull and Bones.
Very proud of the heritage of Beaver Patrol. Got a patch on one of my jackets. It's a beaver with sunglasses on, Bar. Because he's a beaver, but he's on patrol, Bar. He's looking out, Bar.
Is that where you found Bar? Yeah. One last night, boys. One more. Called back for one last Beaver Patrol.
Back in the saddle, Bar.
No, he did a Goodwill hunting. His buddy from the Beaver Patrol went to pick him up one night, and there was a letter that just said, gotta go see about a girl. And then it was him driving up to Harvard with Miss Misery playing.
Ronald Reagan's like, how do you like them apples? Mommy? What does this mean?
Mommy, I hate apples.
That George H.W. is a real genius, and he's wasting his potential with that Beaver Patrol.
You went Ventura hard on
yeah,
that one.
Same diff.
So what's going on in this movie? So John Saxon's not making him dig his own grave.
So he lets him go, and he
drive north till you see snow.
He recruits the girl whose name escapes me.
Yeah.
Whatever. He recruits the lady whose sister was killed to help him. Put John Saxon behind bars because he's convinced John Saxon is the guy doing the killing.
Yeah, right. They're like super, super convinced. And so they break into his trailer.
I kind of like his house, man.
What? Yeah. Listen, if my life, God forbid, ever falls apart.
Oh, if you're on the skids, this is a pretty good skids apartment.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I wasn't paying attention last night, and I kind of like was looking down at my computer, and then I looked up and I'm like, whose trailer are they in and why?
Well, they're just trying to find evidence
Johnson. Right. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's Daphne and, Fred looking for clues.
If we're talking about beachside trailers that cops live in, I'm taking Riggs from Lethal Weapon.
Oh, he's got the best one. Nice. Mel Gibson's got the best one.
Although they both do have, a German Shepherd of some
they
sort?
Do, yeah, they do.
And John Saxton gets maced in the face. This dog gets maced.
It's kind of it's your classic, like, dog. Like, it's just water, but the dog kind of hates it anyway. Like, you know what I mean? It's obviously, it's supposed to be maced, but the dog's like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, shit.
Yeah, oh, and then the lady's name is Gail, by the way.
Gail.
And so, like, Skip's just like, by the way, we invite you to the wedding of Skip and Gail. Can you see those invitations? So like he's just like, what the fuck was that? And she goes, oh, it's pepper spray. I got it. You know, after my sister was murdered, that shut Skip right up.
Yeah, that's going to win a lot of arguments for a lot of years. They go into his house and like John Saxon has like a wall of shotguns.
There's a wall of shotguns. Uh-huh. There's a pile of photographs on the table, all of dead girls.
And keep in mind that both Steve and Andrew said they'd like to live here.
Well, no. Here's the thing. Shotguns could probably stay.
What?
But the dead girl stuff and the weird bondage paraphernalia he has in his house, that can go. But he's got a really sweet like tube television entertainment center.
That's pretty badass. It's
a couple of leather couches.
Yeah. See, opposite for me, I'd say take the guns, leave the girls.
I don't need the guns, but you know exactly what this trailer is, right? It kind of smells like cigarettes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like half-drank whiskey bottles, cap off.
Mm-hmm. The most complicated meal made in this house was scrambled eggs. Like that's where we're living right now.
And that shag carpeting is sterilized from all the times he stumbled to bed holding a bottle.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing, though. You can't. This is why I said it smells kind of like cigarettes, because he had to stop smoking in there. Because if you're dropping ash, yeah, it's going to go up. He would go up in flames with all the alcohol spilled.
So the girl rips up a picture of her sister. She has a little freak out. She's like, I can't believe it's at my daughter in there. And then like John Saxon comes and finds his dog outside. Ruffles, what are you doing out here? He's like, but he actually is like looking at him, looking for an answer. He's like, I'm not leaving till I hear an answer, Ruffles.
Oh, something bad must have happened. He's not talking to me anymore.
Now it's my movie and I communicate with animals.
I'm Man. Like Aquaman, but with dogs.
That's Dude, why I they... need a John Saxon movie where he's just talking with dogs.
That's why HW stationed me at Manatee Beach to communicate with the manatees.
Now, Mr. Saxon, we need you to get down there. Got to start seeing what those dogs know. Got to find this killer, John. Got to sniff him out. What better way to sniff something out than with a pooch nose?
I need you sober, John. Dogs don't like talking to drunk people.
I'll be a Doolittle, all right?
Oh, classic mistake, Mommy. The new guy assigned Saxon to do some detective work. He learned the hard way, Mommy. Mommy?
I asked him to infiltrate that karate studio. That didn't work out well.
That's probably pretty him.
Whatever. So, whatever. At the end of this movie, which is kind of where we're going anyway.
Sure.
The biker gang decides to break out a dog because he gets arrested. John Saxon's just like, I'm just going to arrest you with no evidence, baby. I own this town.
Yeah, poor dog is the fall guy. And it's not John Saxon's dog. It's D-A-W-G dog.
Thank you. For a second, I was confused. I was like,
never arrest my own dog, dumbass.
He told me he didn't do it.
Listen, I believe my pooch.
How could he do it if he's teaching a class at the community college?
Oh, man. The Manatee Beach Community College. Look out for a flock of losers there.
I see you're grading papers, dog. I guess, wait. Bach. I guess these guys get B's. Wolf. Oh, that buddy got an F.
Here's a question I have about the Manatee Police Force.
Sure,
Manatee
please.
Beach Police Force. Is John Saxon the only active member of the squad?
We're going to get there because there's a couple of losers that are underneath him that like are so inept and gleefully so. One of which is the guy that fires on the shark. You see him a couple of times.
And one guy's answering the phone being like, oh, we don't have the manpower for that. I guess that crime just happened. Bye.
Yeah, he does do that.
Click.
Before this happens, Michael Parks kills himself in... It's a real, like...
It's a glorious cinema suicide.
So he calls up the mayor, and it's like John Saxon and the mayor after somebody gets killed. And it's out now. Like I think the killer kills somebody in a furnace and burns her head off, which is kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And dumps her body in front of City Hall. Like, kind of like, you got to deal with this?
Yes.
So now it's out, and
is that the one... Sorry to interrupt, but that the one where... someone goes, oh no, there's been another murder. And then there's like a stampede of people. It's a spring break stampede.
Yes.
Like everyone just starts running.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh,
through the town. I don't even know where they're going.
And no, again, nobody's leaving. They're still attending concerts, going to the bar.
I think they're, they're running to the liquor store.
Yeah, I would be.
Just start a spring break riot. Sure.
So Michael Parks calls the mayor and he's like, hey, you ruined my life. I'll never work in this town again. And he's like, ah, shut up. And he's like, oh, yeah. And like, puts a gun in his mouth and blows his brains out over the phone.
Yep.
Which is kind of like too lazy to kill you. Walk over to the mayor's office and kill yourself a little bit, right?
Phoned in that suicide.
Well, no, and here's the other part about it is he's being a little bit of a jerk because, listen, you're not like,
he does say, listen to this.
Well, but, you know, one, you're lazy and you're not going over to the mayor's office to do the deed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're also, like, not going on live TV and doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no proof that he actually committed suicide. Like, the mayor then has to be like, send someone over to Michael Parks' place, please. I'm pretty sure he killed himself, but I couldn't fucking see anything.
So it's like a radio play at that point.
Sure,
so
it's the shadow.
Are you suggesting people Bud Dwyer?
That's all I'm saying.
That's what you're concerned about. Is they didn't find the body fast enough. Get that shit cleaned up.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
So at the end, so they're like, the biker's like, oh man, I can't believe they took Dog. We run this town because there's like 3 policemen and 30 of us. So they go into the police office, and yeah, it's the night of some big concert. And he's like, well, sorry, everyone's doing all sorts of crowd control. I guess we can't solve that crime. Click.
This band, by the way, that you see up on stage for this before, it's like, there's been another murder!
Yeah.
The
yeah.
band that's playing like that
is,
night.
Cold Sliver.
It's a bunch of dipshits on a stage, is what it is. I mean, it's amazing. I love this band. It's like so beautifully 1980s nonsense.
Why didn't we get the Gleaming Spires, man?
Oh, yeah. What were they up to, huh?
It's a good question.
Trying to communicate with a dog. Unsuccessfully, unlike
so sex. It's the easiest prison break in history. They kind of just go in there and like put a chain around this dude's neck, and he's like, "Oh, bye!" Like,
it's weird. The fact that they successfully take over a police station is pretty impressive. It's a feather in the cap of the demons.
Yeah, no, this is something future generations of demons will be talking about for years to come.
And I was like, you know, why wasn't I watching the demons the whole time? They get shit done.
Exactly. They do.
They break out Dog, and Dog steals a gun, and he's like, oh, we're not done tonight. Not by damn sight. And runs away. At this point, the prankster is murdered. That's what breaks up the concert pretty big.
But here's my problem with that, okay, is that I hate this character.
Sure.
I hate his dirty, rotten, practical Joker guts.
Oh, that one. I thought there's so many to hate.
Yeah.
You can just hate them all.
No, I hate this guy. And off-screen murder.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck that hard. Mm-hmm. And it's all because, like, they're trying to do, like, a Boy Who Cried Wolf situation. Like, he's pretended that he's dead so many times. Mm-hmm. So the cop comes up, and this dude's, like, hanging from something. And the cop's like, oh, don't worry, kids. It's just that stupid prankster everybody hates. And he pushes him, and this body just falls on the floor. And they're like,
Everyone goes apeshit. And this cop gets on the radio and is like, we've lost control entirely. And it's like, dude, this is the reason Manatee Beach PD sucks.
Right. And this is when John Saxon, like, gets all the birds in the sky and the chipmunks and the fishes to come out of the water to save the town from the bikers.
Dude, better it's like the ending.
It's the end of Ace Ventura 2.
Exactly.
Friends, quadrupeds, lend me your ears.
I wish. No, but actually, Skip enacts a really shitty plan where he goes up to Gail and he's like, all right, Gail, we know he like at one point he follows her on her motorcycle. He's like, we know he's going to be looking for you on your motorcycle. What you do is get on that motorcycle. You draw his attention. And keep in touch. Like, he's like, if I'm there, he won't do it. So you just keep in touch. And I'm like, well, there's no cell phones. But apparently they have these enormous walkie-talkies.
Out of nowhere, these things come. So it's also hilarious, too, because she's definitely just on, like, this little moped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like she's just puttering down this quiet Florida road.
Sure, but don't get murdered.
Oh, and I think right before this one, Diablo's own girlfriend gets killed.
Yeah, she does.
So that's sort of like the first, like, oh, why would Diablo do that?
Oh,
so
right. It's sort of like chipping away at this idea
that it's this mythical murderer.
A man has risen from the grave.
Yes.
Which, like, I mean, you don't buy that for a second. This movie, from the start, well, you can tell this movie's not Paranormal Activity stuff.
Well, there is. I think there's a scene towards the beginning where, like, his grave has been disturbed.
Someone stole the body. Yeah. Right.
So you don't know. It might have risen.
There could be ghoulish nonsense. Who knows?
He is risen.
What I love about the demons, by the way, it's a sick reference. And again, something that it makes this whole Umberto Lenzi argument of, like, I didn't direct this, someone else did, nonsense. The demons, right? Demons is a Lamberto Bava movie, a great horror movie that was made a few years before this. And demons, the way it's spelled on their jacket is the font that's used on, like, the posters and everything for this film, Demons. So you know, he fucking directed this movie, okay?
Well, it was really Harry Kirkpatrick, and I was just there the whole time.
Just kind of hanging out. It's a Tim Burton situation.
Yeah.
So as she calls in, she's like, oh, my God, he's right behind me. And he's like, okay, I'm in this parking lot. It's my favorite line. It happens twice. This big fat guy's driving a truck, and he's like, hey, what? Because this guy's trying to peel out and save her.
Right.
He's like, what, do you own the street? And then, like, they cut away to her, and she's, like, having, like, a white-knuckle chase with this guy. And then they
a
come back.
A 5-mile-an-hour white-knuckle chase.
And they come back to him again, and the other guy's still demanding to know. He's like, what, do you own the street? Like, he says it twice in a row.
But then Skip just, like, screams at this guy. Get the fuck out of the parking lot! And the guy's like, oh, okay, buddy, and, like, backs
guess
up.
Guess you do own the street.
Wow, yeah. Can you tell me how it is you came to own this street? I'd like to dabble in street ownership.
I've been checking Zwillow every day. See when that street's coming up for sale.
So they get to, oh, by the way, he calls out to her. He's like, all right, Gail, go to your father's junkyard. And I'm like, when did that happen?
Nobody knew Gail's father had a junkyard movie.
Yeah, well, see, this is because this is the disgusting beach town, as we've been
saying.
Fucking
horse shit.
That's what it's like. The industry of the town is sewage, police enforcement, and junkin.
Just scrapping.
He's a junker.
So he goes, last act in the junkyard. Gail's running around. The guy's chasing her. John Saxon goes up to Skip because I think he just wants to kill Skip at this point.
Well, because he told him to fucking get out of town, yeah, and he sees him. He's like, you son of a bitch.
Here it comes, baby.
And then John
Saxon. I'm not going to kill you. My friend Mr. Woodchuck's going to kill you.
Man, then he's mauled by a woodchuck? That'd be great.
No, I just imagine we took the gun, like two woodchucks with a revolver.
What?
I thought it was Dave Coulier's pathetic puppet from that fucking Fuller House. He's still got that puppet.
Hey, woodchuck, meet Beaver Patrol. Go for the wood, if you know what I'm saying.
But then John Saxon is shot. So he goes down, and this is the greatest part of this movie.
He gets shot in the chest. You're like, oh, my God. And it's dog.
And they come up, and they're like, yeah, Saxon! And they just kidnap this guy and drag him off. And that's the end of it.
Well, they put he's been shot in the chest, and he's like bleeding out, and they put a chain around his leg and drag him from a motorcycle. Yikes.
And it's that storyline's not finished. Demons movie.
It's justified. Well, yes, of course, but that is justified because Diablo was set up.
Yes.
That was all bullshit.
No, yes. But it's just amazing that this character is just dragged off. He's dragged out of the movie.
Right, the movie City Limits.
Yeah, he just goes.
It's
right
so
out.
Great.
I don't think they meant to do that. I think they just went a little too far and they were out of the movie and they couldn't come back. You cease to exist after you go a certain yardage out of the movie, you know? You're like too far away from the cameras.
They're like, oh no, we were just supposed to tape him up to the wall of the police station in his underwear, but we left the movie. Now the audience is going to think we killed him.
It's kind of like in a dodgeball game. Like, you can't come back until somebody catches it. Like, oh, maybe they'll mention us again. We can come back in the movie.
That's exactly
the credits.
It. Yeah, they're sitting out in the outskirts of town.
Wait, well, shockingly, Skip's not like, hey, what happened to that guy that tried to kill me? Multiple times.
Yeah, he's not too worried about it. He's like, the demons will take care of it. Ride on, noble demons.
So, you know, the ending of this movie is stupid. They, like, get in a fight with the killer. The helmet comes off, and whoops, it's this preacher character.
Who has, like, three scenes or so.
He's always lecturing his daughter about going out and getting drunk and being
woozy. He's, like, the extremely righteous whatever.
So this is why it makes sense he would kill the prostitute and the pervert and
right
and pranking is also I think against the Bible.
Thou shalt not prank. Thou shalt better not fucking prank.
That was the 11th commandment. But
the goddamn Andrew Jupin Bible
fell off the rock before Moses got down from that mountain.
Oh, Moses! Looks like the bottom of this second one's chipped a little bit. No, it's fine.
Are you sure?
I don't even know what pranking means. I'm not even. You know, I'm not going to say it. I don't even know what pranking is. He's just like, nope, not reading that, not reading that one. Okay, I'll use that one. That's pretty good.
Ha ha, you bit into that apple and there's a worm in it. Biblical pranks. So, and he's a 60-year-old man. I guess he was on the A-Team for a while. Like, he was, like,
The
antagonist of the A-Team or something, or maybe the friend.
I don't know. I didn't watch any of the A-Team.
He was one of the, you know.
Should have been George Peppard playing this role.
Oh, man. You want a good serial killer, you get George Peppard in your 80s slasher. The thing that's awesome about this, though, is that when the helmet comes off and he's just got this motorcycle outfit on, it's just a leather daddy costume.
Yeah.
And here's this old man like, I'm going to get you, sinners. And I'm like, just look at you.
Yeah.
Bring out the gimp.
Someone's repressed.
So, like, there's two. It's your classic horror movie thing. Where,
classic.
Where he's, like, choking Skip, and he's about to kill him, and Gale grabs this pipe and hits him over the back because he's just a dude. And, like, you know, he lets go of Skip, and then they start to run. I'm like, no, no, you've got a pipe. This old murderer is down.
Yep.
Let's finish this.
Oh, finish the job, Steve. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Get the fucking Stryker brothers in there. A couple of stunners.
Elbow drop from the top rope.
Totally.
The Stryker brothers are experts at cracking an old man's skull.
Exactly.
Break that fucker's neck off the top turnbuckle, of course.
But no, I mean, you...
By God, this old pre-serial killer is dead. And I mean, he is literally dead, folks. I mean, they didn't take any chances. God bless them.
But yeah, you don't leave it. Why have a last act chase thing?
It's no, like, no, it's no. So
we
stupid.
Hit him once. That always happens in the Scream movies. You knock down Ghostface and then you run into the other room. No, no, no. You crush his head until he's dead.
Yep. Yes. Anything to take care of the situation to the point where you don't even have to question it.
I'm crushing your head. I'm crushing your head.
Yep. Oh, no, mommy. They should have turned his head into jelly. This Nightmare Beach is pretty stupid.
Just like we did to that alien, mommy. We turned his head into jelly.
But mommy, you remember when we killed that alien?
he definitely has green blood on his hands, I'll say that much.
That's how we celebrate. That's how we rang in our 50th anniversary, mommy. Splattering alien brains.
So I'm picturing Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, sure.
With a gray alien tied up in the bedroom.
Yep.
Ronnie Reagan dancing around like he's Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs.
Yep, I'm with you so far.
And they're just like going to town on this alien, like torturing it to death.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's tough.
Well, you know, you've been in a relationship that long.
Sure.
Got to spice it up somehow.
Yes. I can't find any ears to cut off, mommy.
Doesn't have a nose either, mommy.
Stuck in the middle with you, mommy. So this dude gives chase.
He does. He gets back on his
briefly.
Why let him get back on his motorcycle? But he does. He hits a tire.
It's like a tire from a monster truck. I don't know how this thing got in there. I guess it's just like generic scrapyard junk.
Yeah.
This dude hits it, which, come on. You can see this thing clear as day. He flies off and then very, you know, fittingly into some scrapyard electrical wires that are just hanging loose.
As they would be.
And this dude just fries up. Here's the thing that you realize, by the way, when you get to the end of this movie and it's revealed, like, who the killer is, you start to think, like, of course it's this old bastard. Because look at that motorcycle. It's not a motorcycle that's, like, part of the demon's, like, a badass, like,
that
hog.
Is a weekend warrior bullshit.
It certainly is. This dude gets AM and FM on this fucking thing. It's the dumbest. I think there's, like, fake wood paneling on the side of it.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
And it's such a loser motorcycle.
There's no MC on his back, and it doesn't even, you know, if you don't have that, you gotta say Lone Wolf, at least.
Yeah, and it's got extra security on the side so he can't fall off.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tell you guys, once I was in northern Mexico driving through in the desert, and I saw this, like, stereotypical, like, badass biker, like an American myth.
Oh,
was it,
yeah.
Was it the Renegade?
Yeah, I think it was.
Was it Lorenzo Lamas himself?
But we were heading north to Nogales, Mexico. And he appeared out of nowhere.
Shit, dude.
And on his back,
yeah,
instead of like a motorcycle club, it said Lone Wolf.
Whoa. Oh,
and like in the same type of font and the curvature, man, it was chillingly awesome.
Dude, I think that might be the coolest thing I've ever heard.
There you
Not
go.
For nothing. That's fucking badass.
I don't know. Stryker Brothers, though? Have you given enough thought to the Stryker Brothers?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Stryker Brothers, badass tag team, sure. How about this, though? Stryker Brothers Plumbing. It's kind of the same, you know?
Same deal.
It's an interchangeable Stryker Brothers whatever.
That will happen if the Beaver Patrol is successful.
Oh, shit. So this preacher is dead, and we're just driving in this dude's car. And the only thing left after this, like, you've had this traumatic experience and whatnot.
Sure.
This chick finally saw her sister's real killer get murdered, by the way.
Good for
which,
her.
Thanks a lot, fucking American capital punishment. Goddamn Diablo went down for nothing. He was telling the truth the whole time.
Think about all the innocent people we execute in this country. It is unconscionable.
It's crazy. And I mean, Diablo's just one example.
He should still be out there leading that biker gang.
Yeah, Dog should be the number two until, you know, Diablo steps down.
Or there's some type of knife fight where they're strapped together.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Speaking of biker gang, stay tuned for Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. Oh, the what's his face movie?
Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, the
biker gang movie.
Yeah,
oh, it's worth it, man.
But so in all of these movies, like what happens, you see a life ended after several other lives have ended by that life that just ended.
Sure.
Of course, you're horny AF. You know what I mean? And so they're driving, and like they're like, "All right, yeah, what an adventure!" And he turns and starts making out with her, like, while driving this car, and I'm looking at my watch like 8, 9, 10. Will you please watch the road, man? You're just making out.
It's weird because like they don't have any kind of intercourse or real chemistry either. But like usually in the middle of these movies, it's like, oh man, how are we gonna survive?
Dude, did you mean discourse and you said intercourse?
No. No, I meant like they don't have sex in the middle of the movie.
Oh, you did literally mean sex.
Usually that happens in the middle of the movie. Where like towards the end, it's like, you know, we're going to die tonight. Well, might as well get it over with.
This is why they're victorious against this guy.
Oh, yeah, they're
chased. Yeah, they didn't get down to fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, you know. But then how do you explain the jokester? That's just, I guess, a mercy killing for the community.
For everyone.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was like, I'm doing a lot of bad. Here's some communal good.
Yeah, I feel like that wasn't even him, though. I think somebody was just like, dude, if I off this guy right now,
oh, yeah,
they're just going to chalk it up to the serial killer.
Dude, I would love it if they're like, and you killed Robbie, and you killed Dog's girlfriend, and you killed the hotel manager, and the prostitute, and the jokester. And he's like, whoa, 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 I didn't kill the fucking jokester. I hated him just as much as the rest of us. But well, let's be honest. Who's thinking about killing the jokester right now? You're right. I mean, anybody could have taken that dude out.
Or if he was like, I thought he was funny. Like, oh my God, this guy's a real monster.
Oh, actually, wait a minute. He's a weird, like, comedy guy. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh, very possible. Oh,
yeah.
That's how 9 out of 10 of those guys go.
It's true.
That's a big, honestly, autoerotic asphyxiation is the number one killer amongst prop comedians.
Totally.
Yeah.
Look out, Carrot Top. Would anybody recommend this movie?
Yeah, anything called Nightmare Beach, I'm going to recommend. I mean, I don't even think I watched this movie. No, it's a fun 80s romp. It is way too late for what it is. Like, the music is awesome. We haven't talked about that enough.
It's so rules.
It's fun. I like it.
I would definitely recommend it. It's just ridiculous 80s murder nonsense as, you know, it could have used a talking dog, but it's pretty good.
Most movies could use a talking dog.
I will say I really enjoyed the scenes with John Saxon and Michael Parks as a, you know, character actor nerd. Like,
yeah.
I kind of wanted a lot more of that, and there's not nearly enough. It's just these two stone-faced, not teenagers running through the situation.
That's true.
Which is a strike against the movie.
Yeah, the problem with your, like, teen murder horror movie is that your two best actors are, like, 50-year-old dudes.
Yeah.
But this movie's a hardcore recommend. It's right in that beautiful wheelhouse of, like, skis 80s fun.
Yeah.
And I could just, I wish there was a Nightmare Beach franchise. I mean,
yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe we should reboot it.
We can get John. Hey, Andrew, can I be in Nightmare Beach 2?
I don't know. How's that kitchen sink looking? If I find any fucking dishes in there, we're not negotiating.
Now I'm doing your dishes? God damn it.
That's Nightmare Beach from 1989, directed by Umberto Lenzi. If you want to get a hold of us and find out more information about this fine show, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at whmpodcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. And remember, folks, rate and review the show wherever you get it. Spread the word about WHM. We cannot stress that enough.
Yes, I want to stop you there to interrupt so someone listens.
All right, I'm shutting up. Hey, please. Eric, the floor is yours.
Okay, yeah. You know, if you like the show, it really helps us a ton if you would rate and review it on iTunes or wherever you find the show, or just spread the word about it.
Or like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and you know, retweet, get your friends on there.
Totally.
You know?
Share the episode links.
Yeah, pay it forward. This is coming from guys with horrific burn scars who have awkward sex with Holly Hunter? What happened in that movie?
Robin Wright, and they do have intercourse.
No, it's Holly Hunter.
Is it Holly Hunter?
Yeah, it's Holly Hunter.
Why have I been thinking for years Robin Wright's in Pay It Forward? Mm-hmm. She's definitely not in any way.
I don't know. I know Helen Hunt is the lady that he is.
Helen Hunt is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
What are you saying Holly Hunter?
Oh, I said
for?
Holly Hunter. Oh, my
oh,
Lord.
Wow.
I said,
just, wow.
Oh, man. One of those nights at the old WHM HQ, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, we would greatly appreciate it. Our WHM fans, the WHM army spreading the word about the show throughout the world. We, of course, greatly appreciate it. Now, next week, we're taking a trip forward to the decade known as the aughts, the 2000s. Mm-hmm. It's a cyber thriller. It's antitrust. It's Robin, not Robin Phillippe. What's his name?
Ryan Phillippe.
Ryan Phillippe. Robin Phillippe.
Ooh, he would have been a good Robin.
Robin Hunter. No, I think that's his name.
Robin Leach. No, Ryan Phillippe. It's a cyber thriller.
Tim Robbins is
Tim Robbins. That's what I'm doing. He's like a Steve Jobs type fella.
I think. No, it's definitely Rachel Lee Cook is in that film.
Yes.
I think Claire Forlani might be in there as well.
Say.
I know. It's 2000. Anything could happen.
Wow.
That's what we thought back then. It's 2000. Right. Anything could happen.
Yeah, and final note. Thanks, Isaac.
Yes.
Yes, of course, Isaac, who wrote in from California.
Okay. Well, I think it's California.
Oh, right. So until next week with Antitrust, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.